Welcome to Season 12 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Laura, and I'm delighted to be joined by my co-host, Catherine.
Hello.
And this season of the podcast, we're continuing the conversations of sharing what is inspiring us on our ongoing story of learning. This week, we'll turn it over to Catherine to share what's been inspiring her.
Hooray! First, I know I have continued to think about your share from last week on crafting a joyful work environment. And I also know that you've had a few steps for your now what next steps to incorporate some of those ideas into your own practice. So, Laura, how's that been going?
I have really been thinking about this article quite a bit over the past week as well, and I know that most of my steps from last time were more internal shifts, but I will say that because of our conversation, I have been more intentional to celebrate joy in others and really be on the lookout to practice that Freudenfreud more proactively. Mm. I've also continued my own reframing about the idea of seeing joy as a place instead of something that is transactional or, you know, hinges on others. So good internal reflection that I've continued. Additionally, I shared the joy partner idea with a friend this weekend. And I actually right now like the idea of having that accountability joy partner outside of work. Mm-hmm. She agreed to be that for me and maybe be a step removed from my day-to-day to kind of keep me in check and really just have that outside awareness to help me see how I'm feeling and doing. So that's fun, got that going. But I do still have a couple of places and people that I'm considering sharing the idea of joy partners with some collaboration colleagues internally. So that might be a bit later on the horizon.
Ooh, good reflections. I think that it's important to have sometimes outside work partners, and they can help you maybe even find more of the joy if you're telling a story and then like this perspective is really joyful. So that's fantastic. I will also say that I started on the step one of really thinking about my mindset and getting to do things rather than have to do things. So that's been a nice shift for me this week. So thanks for that share.
Awesome. Awesome. Again, this season, we're doing really well at learning from one another and taking one another's now what. So I love that.
And lots of internal reflections too.
True.
All right. So before I share what's inspiring me, I'd love to hear what's been inspiring you. Do you have a quick win to share with us this week?
I sure do. Today, I want to share a blog post from TCEA that came through my inbox a week or so ago, and it's titled How to Increase Accessibility with Alternative Text or Alt Text. And so it's a really quick read, and it provides these good, better, and best examples of what alt text should look like in context, as well as several really helpful screenshots and descriptions of where to access and add that alt text language across a variety of social media platforms. So you can see exactly where to go on Instagram or adding captions to Instagram stories, where on Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, just to add that alt text. And so I know we've talked about accessibility a few times here on the podcast, and I think it really is becoming more of a default practice, which is so great. So I thought that this was a handy post that I bookmarked and I wanted to save it and then share it here as well.
It was a fantastic find, Laura. And as soon as I saw it in the notes, I read the article and it was so useful because I thought I was doing alt text right or close. And then I was introduced to an influencer and an activist who is blind. And reading her alt text description, she is so descriptive. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm not as descriptive as Molly Burke, but I'm not just like a building. I'm more descriptive than that. So I was on the right track. At least I felt better about my alt text seeing this article. And then also shout out to the author of the article, Lindsay Foster, who's an occasional Coffee EDU friend. So,
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that was a good connection.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah. I love those. You love a good exemplar, but I love the good, better, best.
Yes. Yes.
So cool.
Fantastic share.
All right. So just as a reminder, we are using our reflective protocol to guide our conversation to consider the what, so what, and now what as we share. So, Catherine, I'm excited to hear it. What is inspiring you to learn this week?
Today, I'm sharing the work from Julie Winkle Giuliani, who is an author, consultant, and organizational leader. And her bio says she is a champion for workplace growth and development. I'm specifically sharing ideas from her multidimensional career framework, which comes from her book, Promotions Are So Yesterday. And confession, I do not have her book. I haven't read it, but the ideas I'm sharing come from my typical rabbit hole and synthesis of multiple podcasts and articles.
It is the way we learn. I love this. I love this title, Promotions Are So Yesterday. And I love that description of champion for workplace growth and development. So I'm ready to hear more. Let's go ahead and pull up that timer. And in 60 seconds or less, Catherine, give us the gist. Tell us about reimagining career growth.
All right. So with her research, Julie asked others, what does career mean to you? And the responses range from service, contribution, learning, connection, and so on. And then she asked, how do you evaluate career success? And the responses were like title, position, and promotions. And so she says there is now a huge mismatch between our expanding definitions of career and then the past way of evaluating career success. Plus, pandemic epiphanies have really changed the way we want to engage with our work. So to help solve this problem and to give us language to talk about our career options, Julie created a multidimensional career framework based on 10 years of field research. And these are 7 ways to help identify alternatives to promotion. And I'm about to run out of time, but
it's okay. Keep going.
But the 7 dimensions in her framework are contribution, competence, connection, confidence, challenge, contentment, and choice. And we'll explore those today. So pass the buzzer, but there
we go. As a rebel, I am glad that you're talking over the timer, but those were 7 powerful words, so I'm glad that you shared them. You also had me at pandemic epiphanies because that's still some of my favorite conversations. So yeah, I am really intrigued by this, particularly with the lens of being in education. Let's dive a little bit deeper and tell us more to answer so what. So what about reimagining career growth is inspiring you to learn?
Well, I have never been interested in becoming a campus administrator.
Same.
But like probably every other human, I have always craved growth and development. And I've had some upward movement in my career, but it was pretty limited on campuses. And I think it's even more limited in our current organization. So that's one part of the work that really piqued my interest. I don't want to be a coordinator, but what else is there for me? And I imagine quite a few educators have the same question. In addition, in our conversations about burnout and job crafting and thinking about your episode, Laura, last week about more joyful work environments, I thought this career framework was another way to help know myself better and perhaps another way to help get me and possibly others through this fall slump. So I've been doing my research about Julie's work, and I've taken Julie's multidimensional career self-assessment on her website, which we'll link. And it has me reflecting even more about job crafting, and the results really seem to be spot on for me, and I'm inspired and ready to share some details.
Ooh, okay. I'm inspired already and ready to hear. So very intrigued with this self-assessment piece. And I think you named it so perfectly, helping others and ourselves through the fall slump, because it's real. Mm-hmm. So I love these kind of connections to other conversations that we have had. I'm ready to dig in and hear more about the framework. So what can you tell us about the framework overall, and maybe some of those seven excellent, powerful sounding words that you shared at the end of your timed conversation?
Okay. So since I ran through all of those so quickly, I'll remind you of those seven dimensions. And Julie points out that these are all areas that we or our leaders can control. So that's one big thing, is like, what's in our control? And then when you take the self-assessment, you get an emailed report. And the report says beyond, between, and besides the upward climb toward promotions and mobility, there are many other ways to grow. And so you can grow and develop in the areas of, and here they are again, contribution, competence, connection, confidence, challenge, contentment, and choice. So, you know, love a lot of alliteration.
Of course.
And then there are two other C's that are out of our control, which are climb and compensation. And those refer back to more traditional ways about thinking of career growth. You get a new title and you get promotion and you get more money. So in the podcast episodes, Julie mentioned that in all of her research and the aggregate data, contribution ranks as the first on the list of interest, and climb is last on the list. And that was true for my self-assessment as well. One terrific connection I heard was the reminder of Dan Pink's book, Drive, and his idea of motivation. I know you're familiar with his work, and he discusses the importance of mastery, autonomy, and purpose. And those elements could map to the dimensions of competence, choice, and contribution. And so Julie's ideas expand his idea of this workplace motivational model. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Always finding connections. That is cool though.
And then in several podcast episodes I heard, Julie emphasized that these areas of growth opportunities are job embedded, and not that you're contributing after hours or that you're challenged beyond your breaking point. So these dimensions are all tied to growth and development. And it's important to think about how the dimensions are a two-way street. You contribute, but you grow in a different area. And so if you're asked to contribute to a new organizational initiative or be on some separate committee, you're excited because you want to make a difference in the company, but you want to think, how can this contribution also lead to your growth? So maybe by contributing, you'll expand your networks or you'll up your presentation skills. So she emphasized this reciprocity going on. And I love this phrase. Julie said, you want to wring every possible growth opportunity out of your experiences.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is. I love that I really am now creating a more intentional lens for how I think about my own learning and work projects.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to need to just pause and sit here and think about this for about 7 minutes and then come back. But yeah, so many things. I really like this connection to maybe reframing our thinking, and also love that phrase, wringing every possible growth opportunity out of the experiences we have. But I really like that idea of reciprocity coupled with the reminder that, like, we're not doing more outside of work. Like, we're not doing this as a yes and plus many other things, but keeping that within the balance of work life, I think, is a really good thing to remember. And also kind of thinking with that reframing of things we get to do instead of have to do. That's what I was thinking when you said, you know, who among us has not been asked to contribute to a new organization educational initiative. And so that reframe of like, oh, okay, I have to do this now, but getting something out of it and that reciprocity, interesting. I also have one more thought, and you might come back to this, but it really struck me that the results of those self-assessments had climb at the bottom and contribution at the top, which is really interesting because, yeah, traditionally climb is the way that we measure that success. And so I think it's really interesting that that is maybe the thing that is least important to people, but the thing that we all know as the base metric for growth. So very, very interesting.
Well, it's funny because Julie mentioned that on one of the podcast episodes that every time she does a keynote or, you know, some big presentation and she has people do the self-assessment, she waits with bated breath. Are these results going to be the same? And they are all the same. I would think now in this whatever pandemic epiphany time that we have, that we are really thinking about like, no, I'm really interested in some other things. So,
Okay. Well, you mentioned that self-assessment, and so you took it, and I assume that your results aligned with Julie waiting with bated breath, but are you willing to talk more about that and maybe share your results and related thinking?
Yes, of course. So my top three dimensions are probably not a surprise to you and some who know me, but they are contribution, and second was choice, and third was connection.
That sounds like you.
And when you get the report, they are ranked from the highest to the lowest, and then climb is number eight. And contribution was way above the other two in my scoring. I can really see how contribution is a top choice for so many people, because I think inherently we want to be contributors just as a human. So when I was a classroom teacher, it was very easy to feel like I was making a difference in kids' lives. But as I've moved away from students, have I felt like I've contributed to the mission of the school or the organization? Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. In my recent reflections, I now realized that during the no times, that's really led to job dissatisfaction and burnout and a desire for change somewhere. This point of this burnout reminded me of the idea of job crafting, which we've talked in our work and research about burnout, and more specifically, cognitive crafting. That means that we can modify the way we interpret our tasks to help see how our work aligns to the values and mission of our organization. So I need to remind myself how my contributions, like this podcast or my sessions or whatever I'm doing, really contributes to educators' learning. And that will then contribute to student learning. And then I need to, the second step, remind myself how to grow and develop from those contributing activities and opportunities. A lot of Julie's work is geared towards managers to help find opportunities for their direct reports to grow and develop. So for coaches and other instructional leaders, if you know your educator's number one dimension is contribution, you can be on the lookout for ways your person can increase their contributions and then highlight ways those contributions can help the person learn and grow. And then furthermore, be sure and point out to those employees, hey, did you see this? You really contributed to this, which aligns to our school's mission, and so on. And then also to any of my leaders who happen to be listening, hint.
Ooh, I am feeling a little bit called out. I think I'm going to have a lot of reflective now what next steps, because it feels like you are speaking directly to me right now. So called out in the way of like, oh yeah, I need to do some reframing of my own. Ooh, this is good stuff, Catherine.
Yay. Oh, I'm so happy.
I also really like, because, you know, coaches and supporting instructional leaders is always on my mind. And so I really like that suggestion or thinking about knowing the people that you work with and support, knowing what their top factors are so that you can help them job craft to find more opportunities for contribution or connection or choice. And so, yeah, I think that's a great strategy to drop a hint, but also to mm-hmm. share with our instructional leader friends, because mm-hmm. yeah, that would be a great way to feel so seen mm-hmm. And supported, particularly in that fall slump time. So mm-hmm. interesting.
Okay. Let me share the other two.
Sure. Sure.
I think personally, I have a better handle on these other top dimensions, choice and connection. But the layer I want to work on and I need to add is, how do these elements lead to more growth in myself? I especially feel like I have a lot of control over the connection dimension. I really work myself mm-hmm. to create those professional connections, like our mastermind group, Laura, and my Coffee EDU group, and internal and external book clubs, and Google Educator group. So mm-hmm. being around these edgy friends always leads to growth for me, but mm-hmm. I just need to kind of remind myself, like, oh man, Laura, that article you shared, that really mm-hmm. inspired me. Mm-hmm. And I use that in my session. So just recognizing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
For leaders and coaches, if you know connection is my key dimension, can you be on the lookout for me for cross-curricular projects mm-hmm. or provide opportunities for networking that might lead to some learning and development?
Oh, I love this thinking, because it goes back to something you said near the top, which is, if this is the lens that we have or our leaders have, perhaps being targeted or targeted is a weird word, but being called out, invited to work on a cross-curricular project looks like an opportunity for growth, for connection, because you both know that you need that, instead of, hey, Laura, will you be on this committee mm-hmm. for this random thing? Or I'm like, no, I don't really want to do mm-hmm. that. But if the mindset is like, oh yeah, I'm looking for more opportunities for connection and growth, absolutely, I'll do it. And so it's so funny, but not even funny at this point in our season, that I think so many of our inspirational pieces kind of feed into one another mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. seeing these themes of reflection and crafting and reframing thinking. But man, it's really speaking to me today too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I guess this really shows what's pervasive on our minds.
Also that. Going back to last week, I want to add to job crafting. Maybe I need to be joy crafting as
right.
Maybe thinking of those hand in hand as well.
Right. Well, and then this is reminding me, my third dimension is the choice. And I do feel like I have so much choice. Like, I can choose to work on this podcast different mm-hmm. days and different times. We have complete control over the topics. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have a lot of control over the sessions, but I'm thinking about sometime in the near future, mm-hmm. reconfiguring of offices and teams and things like that. I'm just like, oh, I'm not looking forward to that, because it's going to be, you need to be here and sit mm-hmm, here mm-hmm. at this time. I've really enjoyed schedule flexibility. So mm-hmm. lack of that choice is going to be a little bit of a challenge for me. I can mm-hmm. predict.
mm-hmm. Those pandemic epiphanies are real. And I think it's so powerful to know ourselves and have that language to be able to advocate for that, even if it doesn't always work out. And I would predict that choice would be very high on my self-assessment as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I have just a few little random other tidbits from learning and listening. I first heard Julie's work on, no surprise, Gail Allen's Curious Minds podcast.
Shout out Gail Allen.
Of course, always. And in their conversation, they discuss the importance of owning your own learning mm-hmm. and then reflecting on learning preferences. And in her book, Julie has a matrix of for the competent section, going from solitary to social and consuming to constructing knowledge. And so much of that conversation reminded me of Gail's work and her Pillars book. And so it was really fun to recognize those threads and elements of powerful learning design in that conversation.
I love that.
I was just grinning when I was listening to their conversation.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to add that to my queue and listen to that as well.
Yes. And then in a different podcast episode, Julie mentioned the 70-20-10 model, which is what we aspire to in our own work. And so that was another fun connection. And the 70-20-10 model says that humans typically learn 10% from formal training, 20% from social interactions, and 70% from experiences. Julie was discussing the competence dimension and how to develop knowledge and skills. And she acknowledged that sending people to a bunch of training may be cost prohibitive, but there are other ways to grow skills. The formal training is only like 10% of the best way that we learn, but can there be some job embedded social interactions or shadowing people or other experiences that could help build that competence strand?
That sounds like rethinking the way we've always done things.
Absolutely. And then one final fun tie-in to our connected puzzle pieces this season. When I was scrolling Julie's Twitter feed, Michael Bungay Stanier created a blurb for her book, and he was our seven essential coaching questions person. Laura, you discussed his work on episode 2. So I just loved that they were friends and he was blurbing her work. So love
that. That is so funny. And yet he's cropping up everywhere. So I think he's just friends with everyone, which is delightful. And I want to be his friend as well. So I get it. Oh, that's fun. Those are good connections. Well, as you know, another idea we're practicing this season is to use each of our episodes as a place to launch further thinking. So we want to challenge each other to apply what we share as we consider now what. So now what? What are some next steps from here? And how might you incorporate ideas about reimagining career growth into your work or further your learning?
Well, Laura, like your episode last week, my next steps are going to mostly be internal reflections. And so my first step is that when you take the little self-assessment for multidimensional career growth, you get a lovely document with reflection questions. And the questions are a bit tailored to your top response. And so my first two questions were about contribution, but they just caused me so many reflections I've had to stop. And I want to go back and finish all of those reflection questions.
Cool.
That's step one. And then I want to use my top three dimensions as a lens for how I approach meetings or work projects and other professional duties. And so here again, this is going back to reframing and changing my mindset. Instead of approaching, for instance, a long meeting with dread, maybe approach it with a curious mindset and how can I contribute and connect and find choices and ways that help me grow and develop. So come in with just those three.
Again, I'm feeling called out, but in a good way. So I try to emulate you there.
Good. I also plan to share my results with my coordinator in my next check-in and ask if there are ways that she can support my top three dimensions.
Ugh, I love that.
And then this week, in preparation for recording the episode, I started a shout out Google Keep note.
You're doing it.
Where I am going to try to document my own contributions when I see them. And first highlight like, oh, I contributed. And then figure out how I can grow from that experience. So
very cool.
So those are my now whats. And again, a lot of internal reflections, but a possibility of some nudges towards some others.
I love that. And it will be so interesting to see that Google Keep note I'm going to predict explode because I think you already contribute in so many ways. But I think it'll be really interesting to be looking for that and have that as kind of a lens with which you go through your day to day, just to see those contributions. So very, very interesting challenges for yourself. I'm excited to hear how that's going next week.
Well, thank you, Laura, for recognizing that. And I think I just need to recognize it in myself. So do a little joy spotting, do a little contribution spotting, and maybe I'll just be 100% joyful contributor now. So
I love it. I love it. We will see.
We'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a moment to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider, what ideas have you heard today that have sparked your interest and inspired further learning about reimagining career growth? You may also find us on Twitter at @DigLearnRadio to continue the conversation and share your own learning that's inspiring you this week.
This season, we're dedicated to sharing our learning and the things that are inspiring us. We hope that when we share, the conversation and ideas will cultivate curiosity and inspire you to explore one of the resources, reflect on a question we've asked, or continue the conversation with us online. Reflect to consider the what, so what, and now what of your thinking. Share your learning inspirations and ideas from this episode and beyond. We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen and her work in the new pillars of modern teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. Let's continue learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get it inspired.